show. It's not going to be a performance, but it's going to be a demonstration of power. And people's lives are going to be set free. Drug addicts are going to be set free. Alcoholics are going to be set free. Cancers are going to fall off. Blinded eyes are going to be opened. Deaf ears are going to be unstopped, because the glory of God will show up where unity is.
Or the person standing in a pulpit, but it's about God anointing you. And when that happens, it'll be transformation within the body of Christ. Amen. How many believes that? What you're going to see is when you see that kind of anointing, James, you see the 9 spiritual gifts in operation, a body anointing. You see the 5-fold ministry in full operation. Who knows we need that in the church? Amen. God's doing that. Amen. God is sending us evangelists. Amen. He sent us 2 in Justin and Brandon. Amen. Pastors, evangelists, teachers, apostles, prophets. Amen. And then the nine gifts of the Spirit in operation. Amen. And I told on Wednesday night, we've been discussing unity on Wednesday nights as well. And we talked about becoming unified with the Spirit. Amen. How many enjoyed that? How does we need to walk in humility and meekness and in patience? I want you to turn back over there real quick. You're going to have to just bear with me. I'm flowing with the Spirit of the Lord this morning. I've prepared notes, but I feel like the Lord is downloading some things into my spirit this morning. I was awake at 4:30 in prayer, and the Lord just spoke. He just dropped some things down in my spirit. Isn't it awesome when the Lord just wakes you up? You just wake up in the middle of the night, and then all of a sudden these things just start coming to you. Sometimes that's when you can hear the most from the Lord, because all the other distractions are gone. The phone, the TV, the computer, all these things, and we get quiet. I mean, sometimes it's hard for us to get quiet, but the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen. Are you there at Ephesians 4? Jacob will have to just play by ear. I'm sorry, son. I forgot to give you my scriptures. But we're going to jump around this morning. Somebody say unity. No division. Come on, say it again. Say no division. No distractions. Flowing together as one body. Functioning in the Holy Spirit. As God directs. Ooh, glory. Isn't that exciting? I'm going to tell you, we're going to see healings take place. We're going to see, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see healings manifest that have already been done. We're going to see healings. I'm telling you, something's changing in the atmosphere. And we sense it in the spirit. I've known it for several weeks now. There's just a shift, and you can sense that God is up to something. Ephesians 4. Let's read this real quick, and we're gonna jump around. So if you have your Bibles, just keep them open. Jacob, try your best to keep up. I know it's tough sometimes with that computer. Ephesians 4. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." It's talking about being people of integrity and character. The word worthy here means to be in balance. And verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, walking in humility and being meek with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I said forbearing one another in love. You know what that means? You may not like everything about a person, but If we are flowing in the Spirit of God and we're operating according to the, I told on Wednesday night, don't show me the gifts of the Spirit without first showing me the fruit of the Spirit. It all comes from the Spirit. Amen. I said it all comes from the Spirit. We're going to see that. So forbearing one another in love. How many knows that can be difficult sometimes because we operate, we are in this fleshly body, but if we don't operate, if we don't flow with the Spirit, sometimes it's hard to forbear one another in love because, let's just be honest. Sometimes people do things that irk you. Can you use the word irk from the pulpit? I just did. I told somebody one time, we are to love one another. But that doesn't mean you're going to like everything somebody does. Amen. But guess what? They might not like everything you do. All right. Verse 4. There is one body. Everybody say one body. There is one Spirit. Everybody say one Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Even as you are called in one hope. Say one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for what you are speaking to me, Lord. And I just pray right now you would help me to bring out every thought, Lord. Everything that you've dropped into my spirit, I'd be able to bring it out today with clarity. And Father, let it be anointed. Let it change lives. Let it draw us toward you. Add your blessing to it, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Now, we're not going to get into all these verses, but what I want to show you is that we need to see the oneness of God. Now, you guys know what I'm talking about. I believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Father, the three in the Godhead, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's important for you to know that these three are so close that they operate as one. Amen. Now, we're going to talk about unity, how we, do you realize, and it's going to be so hard not to get ahead of myself here. I got to slow down. Can you tell I'm excited? I'm excited. Slow down. Everybody say, slow down, Pastor. All right. In order for us to be in unity in the Spirit, we have to understand the closeness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we have to flow with the Spirit in order for us to operate in unity. We can't be in unity in the flesh. Amen. Because what your flesh likes, mine don't. Amen. People have different things in common. Amen. We don't watch a lot of TV at our house, but if I sit down to watch TV, I'll just be honest with you. It's most of the time, it's usually sports. Justin comes to my house, we'll get along just fine because we'll probably watch a game together. You on the other hand, you may not like sports. Oftentimes husbands and wives don't, one likes sports, one don't. James is so blessed because Judy likes sports. If you don't like those things, you have to find something that you enjoy together as husband and wife, and that's what you do. Amen. But people—they have different things that they like, different things that they enjoy, and so the point being made is what you enjoy and what you like will be different from somebody else. So therefore, you're not going to be able to come into unity in the flesh. So it takes the common bond within the Spirit for you to be unified. But when you have that, oh Lord, God, let us get this word. But when we get that common go in the Spirit, amen. And then we're going to see the same vision. Man, I feel an anointing dropping on this word. We're going to see the same goal. We're going to see people hurting. We're going to see hurting people and lost people. Amen. And what's going to happen is we're going to push all our differences aside. I may not like the way you speak. I may not like the way you sing. I may not even like the song you sing. But guess what? As long as you're flowing in the Spirit, I'm going to get in line with that. And we're going to see a life change because people are flowing together and in unity in the Spirit. Oh, you got to see this. Woo, I feel like I'm about to blow up. Look at verse 3, endeavoring to keep. Everybody say keep. Come on, say it again, say keep. What I tell you Wednesday night, you got to have something before you can keep it. It didn't say endeavoring to get. It said endeavoring to keep. The unity of the Spirit. All right, Pastor. If it's something we're supposed to keep, and we already have it, how did we get it? Now we're going to back up and we're going to show you. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis. You know, if you want to turn there, you can. I want to show you something. Genesis 1. Jacob, go all the way back to Genesis. Back to beginnings. Back to Genesis. Genesis 1. Look what happened here. Oh, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Genesis chapter 1. Look what it says. In the beginning, God. Oh, in the beginning, God. I love that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The earth was void without form. And we know that speaks of a literal earth. But how many knows that this body is made out of the dust of the ground? Amen. Now, God, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then darkness and light were separated. Darkness was separated from light. How many know and understand that when God spoke that over our lives, darkness and light were separated? He created Adam out of the dust of the earth. He breathed the breath of life, that pneuma, Holy Spirit. Wonder that song you sang this morning, breath of God. The breath of God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. That's where we get, most people say body, soul, and spirit. But that's where we get spirit, soul, and body. The Spirit of God connected to man, and the three became one. That's the unity, and it's symbolic of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh God, help me share this word. The Spirit is what brought that unity. Now, look at verse 26. So I could stay here for a long time. Look at verse 26. Same chapter. God said, let us. Everybody say us. Let us make man in our image after our. Here's some good pronouns. Everybody say our. After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the cattle, over everything, every creeping thing. So what the scripture is showing here, that there was such a closeness and such a unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him. You gotta see the union here. I said, you got to see the union, how close these three are. I told them downstairs, we're talking about in our meeting. I said, it's kind of like an egg. How do you explain it? There's three parts to the egg. There's the shell, the white, and the yolk. It's one egg, but three parts. You see the closeness there. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. It's what one is thinking, the other's thinking. Jesus said, I won't do anything that I don't see the Father do. You know, what I came to show you is what the Father has shown me to do. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to speak of me. You see, they were all together in one. And you got to see, that's the message here. Before we can come together as one, we have to see how they are one, and we have to come together that same way. Connected through the Spirit. The Spirit of God. Now don't miss me here. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God, everybody say it, and God what? Now here's where we are, where He began to speak. What's the scripture say? He breathed on Adam, Curtis, right? But then God spoke. When the glory of God showed up, then God began to speak. You see, when we come together in that kind of unity, in that kind of closeness, the glory of God's going to show up. And then that's when you can start to speak things. You can speak to those. Y'all gotta pray for you gotta pray for your pastor. I feel the enemy trying to oppose this word. You can speak to those things, amen, that have come against you. You can speak, James, that people will be healed, amen, in that spirit when the glory of God shows up. You can speak those things that are not as though they were. in the glory. You begin to speak because, I don't know if you're getting this or not. He said, we are made in the image and likeness of God. So that means if he can speak, create, he has creative power to speak. We have creative power to speak because we are made in his image and his likeness. That's why Jesus said, whatsoever thing you say, that's what you're going to have. Amen. And that's why it's so important for people not to speak negative. Don't speak negative concerning your children. Speak blessings. I heard a person say the other day that their dad told him, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be anything. Oftentimes those people struggle in life. Oftentimes those people, they face one obstacle after another. But I speak blessings over my children. I bless my sons. They will prosper. They will be in health and they will prosper. My son's manifest healing will take place and he will graduate with a college degree. I speak that in the name of Jesus. I declare that and I refuse to receive anything less. Amen. Are we together? Now, do you understand how close the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are? Go to John chapter 17. Jesus' last prayer. Oh, man. Unity. Everybody say unity. Jesus' last prayer. Look at the first five verses. Now, we're talking about when unity comes, the glory comes. When unity comes, the glory comes. Amen? Well, in John 17, look what it says. You got it, Jake? What Jesus said. These words spoke Jesus and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, his prayer to the Father. Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify thee. Keep going. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gave me to do. One more verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Amen. Now, Jacob, skip to verse 20. How many wants to see souls saved? How many wants to see a harvest of souls? How many like to see lives changed? How many's got loved ones that's bound up by drugs or a friend or a family member that's connected to drug addiction? You'd like to see them set free. How many wants to see people know Jesus? Look what it says here. He says, neither pray I for these alone, for them who also which shall believe on me through their word. Keep going. That they all may be, he's praying for us now, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. And that they also may be one in us. In the Spirit. That, why? Why did he want us to be one? Here it is. That the world may believe that you have sent me. Keep going. And the glory, there it is. Oh, I don't know if you see that. See what it says. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. One more verse. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Why? That the world may know that you have sent me and thou hast loved them as you love me. So the purpose here, Christ, in praying this prayer for us to become one, is so the world can see. The world out there, they need to see. They need to see something real. When Jesus came, Curtis, he brought that impartation here to us so we could become one. That's why he told the disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until you're endued with power. And the scripture says on the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, they were in one mind and one accord, Judy. And it says, y'all know the sound came from heaven like a mighty rushing wind and it filled the place where they were sitting. Amen. And they all began to speak with other tongues. Everyone there heard their language. 120 people come together in one mind and one accord, just like like when Solomon's temple was dedicated, 120 trumpeteers that sounded as one. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying when we get in one mind and one accord, the glory of God's going to show up and lives are going to be changed. It's not going to be a social gathering. It's not going to be a show. It's not going to be a performance, but it's going to be a demonstration of power, and people's lives are going to be set free. Drug addicts are going to be set free. Alcoholics are going to be set free. Cancers are going to fall off. Blinded eyes are going to be open. Deaf ears are going to be unstopped, because the glory of God will show up where unity is. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. He prayed that we would become one in Him. And see, the thing here is, it seems so hard to get a diverse group of people to come together for one purpose, one vision. I want you to catch the vision. The vision I have is a greater vision than I've ever had for this area. I'm believing that the Shekinah glory is going to show up here in this place. Rend the heavens, Lord, and come down. And we're going to see a Hebrides revival, or an Azusa Street revival, or a Welsh. We're going to see something that powerful happen in this area when we come together and say, we have one vision and one goal. And we're united in that vision. Unite us, Lord. Bring us together. Push aside our differences. Now, I'm not preaching this. I've told you this before. It's not because I sense a great divisions among you all. But I'm telling you, the enemy will try his best to get in little areas. But I'm saying, bind us together, Lord. I'm saying, let us have love for each other. You know, this sister, her and her boys were here Wednesday night, and they have moved here from. Tell me again. Maryville, Tennessee. And we're so glad they came to visit. She gave me Jacob put 1 Corinthians 1:10. She came up during worship this morning and gave me this verse. 1 Corinthians 1:10. She said, I feel like the Lord's giving me a verse for you. Here we are. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Wow. That you're perfectly joined together in the same mind. Amen. You know, now, how do we do that, Pastor? Again, it seems so hard to get everybody's, you know, that's the key for a worship service. You know why sometimes it's hard for the Spirit of the Lord to move? Because people's minds are so scattered. And oftentimes it's not bad things. You're just thinking about what you did yesterday, what you're going to do tomorrow, where you're going to eat at when you leave the church today. You're thinking about everything, but your mind's on everything but the Spirit of the Lord. So you have to see in order to get there. Now here's the kicker. I've left my notes all together. How many knows, we talk about the tabernacle. You remember when they set the tabernacle up in the Old Testament? Now, how many knows, what's the scripture say? Your body is what? The temple. You are the temple of God. No, you're not. Your body is now the temple. When in the tabernacle, you had the outer court, and you had the outer court. Then you had the holy place, and then we go on behind the veil, and we have the most holy place. Now, here's the kicker: trying to get everything on the same page. In the outer court, this is symbolic of the body. Amen. Everybody could come to the outer court. Everybody could get to the outer court. Amen? You know, you could get yourself out of bed and drag yourself to church. Amen? Sometimes that in itself might be difficult, but you manage to do that. Everybody can come to the outer court's lit by the sunlight. Body lit by the sunlight. Then you move on in to the holy place. The holy place, amen, that's the soulish realm. Amen. That's the, you know, the mind, the will, and the emotions. You realize there's three pieces of furniture in the holy place, which is symbolic of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The lampstand was in the holy place. You got to see this. We go from body, and here we go to soul. Amen. In the soulless realm, a light comes on. That's why it's important. There's a light. I kind of see what Pastor is talking about there. I see that scripture that he put up on the board. All of a sudden this light starts coming on. And you get a greater sense of what's going on here. But you see, that's why the scripture says to renew your mind. Amen. By the renewing of your mind. You get in this area, it renews your mind. But when you get in behind this place, then you get into the spirit realm. We got spirit, soul, and body. But in order to get our body and our soul in union and to get everybody else in union, we got to get there. That's the kicker. That's the key. Because in here, you got to see this. In out here, what was illuminated by the sun, and then here a lamp came on, a light came on. In here, the Shekinah glory of God shines down, and there's no need for the sun. There's no need for any kind of lamp, because it's the glory of God that illuminates what happens in the spirit. You get these things in your mind, and all of a sudden the glory of God lights on it, and it's illuminated, and you get revelation. You see who you are in the spirit. And then all of a sudden you see the power of a corporate body that's combined together with Christ. And then the glory of God shows up because we're in the spirit realm. Out here, we're not together. We're just here. Amen? There may not be fights, but we're just here. We're in the same building. Oh, but out here, demonic spirits are working alive. I mean, I don't want to get off color. I don't want to gross you out. But how many's ever seen maggots? Oh, they're awful. You ever seen maggots? They're awful. Out here, you know, those demonic spirits are working alive. And if we stay out here in the outer court, because, you know, we're so scattered, nobody ever gets delivered. Oh, God, let us get this. People come in and they leave the same way they came in. Unchanged. It's body worship. Yeah. It may feel good because certain things make the flesh feel good. Sometimes it's just hype. Sometimes it's just emotion. Sometimes it's just the right chord or something that triggers an emotion inside of you. And it's just body worship. It's feel good. It's feel good stuff, but there's not any change. But, you know, when we get a little bit deeper and we start to get that soulless realm under control, we get our thoughts. We go from the body. Okay, I got to get my thoughts in line with the spirit. You see, here's the kicker. Right? Do you realize that right here in the center is the soulless realm? And this is what pulls it's what controls what's going to happen. It's what pulls you toward God. You got to see this. In the beginning, God, when he spoke to Adam, he took dust. He took dirt. And he breathed the breath of life, spirit, and Adam became a living soul. Now, sin separated that. Sin separated Adam from God. And when Jesus came, he showed up and he brought it back, Ernie. He brought it back. When Nicodemus says, "What must I do to be born again? Or what must I do to be saved?" He said, you got to be born again. He said, "Can I enter my mother's womb?" He said, "No, the second time is of the spirit. It's pneuma. It's breath of God." Do you realize that when God came into the garden, the Bible says he came in the cool of the day. Do you realize that meant the wind? It's the same meaning as the God breathed. It's that wind blowing in the cool of the day. They was communing with Adam. And then Jesus breathes upon, you know, here is the place where he breathed and they received the spirit. They were filled with the Spirit because he breathed on them. But see, what happens is now he says, go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait. And you're going to be endued with power. How many knows we need power? You're going to be endued with power. They go there in the same mind, same mind and same accord. The Holy Spirit shows up and they're all, the 3,000 souls saved. 3,000 in one day. 3,000 are saved. The church is born. And then we get over in 1 Corinthians, like this sister gave me this verse. Now there's divisions. Paul said, I sense there's divisions among you. You realize that many of the epistles were written because of division? That quick, and that's where the path, and then Paul says, you were running well. Who hindered you? That you didn't obey the truth. Now, and then all of a sudden, it's the same way with the church. You know, I've told you before, we have Baptists, Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of God, Assemblies of God, and across the board, you got all these denominations, they're all over the world. But the only way you're going to pull the church together is through the Spirit. We got to get there. Because if you're in the Spirit, and I'm in the Spirit, the Bible says that Spirit flows from breast to breast. If you're in the Spirit, and I'm in the Spirit, we're going to see the same thing. And we're going to say, I don't care how it comes, I just want to see God show up and see somebody's life changed. Are y'all seeing that? Oh, come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. It's not about this is the place that we want to get to. Are you seeing that? And what happens is, where's Daniel? Tell him, come on up. He's videoing. Come on up. I'm gonna bring this to a close here. We have to get in the Spirit. Here's the Spirit, and here's the flesh. What's the Scripture say? You know that the Spirit is lusting against the flesh, and the flesh is against the Spirit. They're contrary one to the other, so that you can't do. Uh-oh. Cripples the church. You can't do the things that you would. Are you following me? Amen. How many believes the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had to flow together? When Jesus was in the flesh and he died on the cross, and he said, not my will, but yours be done. What if we could get that prayer and say, not what my flesh wants. Amen. Not what my flesh wants, but what God wants. We gotta see that this unity of Spirit. Look, what did I tell you? It's in Ephesians 4. The unity comes from the Spirit. It's not something you can do in the flesh. Because, Ernie, I may agree with you today, but tomorrow I'm gonna disagree with you. In the flesh. You follow what I'm saying? You just can't do that. You can't get people together to agree. That's why our leaders now, oh man, we need the Spirit in the White House. I said, we need the Spirit in the White House. Why were our leaders able to agree on what this nation was founded upon? Why was this great nation, I'm trying to quit, why was this great nation, why did it become what it was? Because it's founded upon the Word of God, not on freedom of religion, but upon the truth of the Word of God. And they all said, this is what we're going to do. Amen. And so that will, you know what, that'll pull Republican Democrat together. I don't care if you're Republic, Democrat, Independent. I don't care if you're black, white, whatever. When you come into one common ground and what thus says the Word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to agree and God's going to show up. God is drawn to that. And it's even greater when you have people that have greater differences. That's why the enemy wants to divide and separate us with these different denominations. We're working against ourselves. You know, it's the church. Amen. I hope you guys have received something from the Word this morning. Okay, let me share this with you and I'll close, I promise. This spirit of unity that showed up on Pentecost, it continued through the fourth chapter of Acts. Wow. Four chapters of unity. You know, what if we could see that happen and it continue and not cease? And during this time, they continue, Justin, to see the manifestation of God's glory. I got this underlined in my notes. I want you to take this home with you. Unity of spirit is the breeding ground for the manifestation of the glory of God. Unity of spirit is the breeding ground for the manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. So we have to pray. We have to pray for God's glory. Everybody, you know, we want to pray for God's glory, but we almost must also remember there's great power in praying in one mind and one accord and one spirit. There's power in that. You know, I'm praying what you're praying. You're praying when I, you know, in one mind, one accord. You know, I was studying, and you've probably studied some of these revivals, but there's many. Y'all can stand. I'm done. I promise. I'm finishing. But you know, there's a lot of great revivals that have taken place over the years. The one that probably fascinates me the most is the Hebrides revival in 1947. It's a little island called Lewis off the one of the Scottish islands off the coast of the main island, Scotland. And if you've ever studied that revival, there was two. I want you to get this, and I'm gonna close. But there was two sisters, two elderly ladies that were praying. I think one was Judy, one was like 82, one was 84. One had crippling arthritis and the other was blind. And they were praying for revival. Two. What's the Bible say? If any two agree, it's touching one thing. Now these elderly ladies were praying for revival, and they said, Duncan Campbell's coming. He's going to come preach the revival. They contacted Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell says, I can't come. They went back and told the sisters. Duncan Campbell said he can't come. They said he'll be here in a fortnight. Everything got canceled. He shows up, was supposed to preach for 10 days. He stayed on that island for over 2 years. And it's a great revival in that so many, I mean, they had to come and get people at the police station. The first night of the revival, he showed up. He got there late in the evening. They didn't have service till late, and it was a late. He said it was a pretty good service. I've heard the testimonies. I've heard Duncan Campbell preach about this revival. By the way, Duncan Campbell died in 1972, but I've got his preaching tapes, and he said that there was just a quaint service. They dismissed, and when they got to, you guys have heard me tell this before, but some of you may haven't. When they got to the door, he was walking down the aisle. Him, one of the leaders of the church. And they said, you got to come here and look. And the parking lot was full of people at 11:30 at night. They opened the church back up. There was a dance going on in the community. 100 young people came from the dance, came to the church, stepped across people laying in the floor, and came and gave their lives to Jesus. What are you saying, Pastor? You know, I've longed for that. And I got to be honest with you. There's times that I've thought, if we can't see that, we might as well just close the doors and be done with it. Because I know it's available to us. I know it's available. You know, to where we can see something like that happen, to where it's no longer just a social church gathering, but it's a God awareness where God shows up in the community. And everything changes. Heard one guy, James, say, one guy was giving a testimony. He was a 10-year-old boy, I think, at the time. I heard him speaking when he was an adult. He said the morning after that happened, that night in the church, he said they were sitting at the breakfast table, and his dad came downstairs, walked to the cabinet, got the Bible out. He was 10 years old. He'd never seen his dad read the Bible, and he laid it on the table, started reading. I'm talking about an awareness of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Can I be your pastor this morning? Listen, this is not going to happen. This kind of revival is not going to happen unless we're unified in spirit, unless we're praying in the spirit, unless we're seeking the face of God, praying in unity, corporately praying together, and not just showing up on Sunday morning and saying, okay, now I'm here. Bless me, Lord, and I'll see you next week. We got to be functioning and praying in the spirit. It's going to take some pushing back of the plate. It's going to take some pushing back of the TV, some pushing back of the computer, and saying, I want God more than I want those things. But when you get that way, Randy, and I get that way, I promise you something's going to happen in the spirit. And it's going to take over in this place. We may come in here and not sing a song. And I'll tell you, I'll just be honest with you. It'd be fine with me if I don't preach. I don't have to preach. Because I thought this morning, you know, I really just said, Lord, you know, I just want you to show up. I don't want to get up there and deliver another word. I want to see you show up. Church, hear my heart this morning. God's doing something in my heart. And I want to see God show up in a supernatural way. I'm tired of reading about it, Joyce. How many like to see if God tarries? How many like to see someday God read about the revival that hit southeastern Kentucky? I challenge you to pray and fast for it. Amen. Come and get us a song. If you got to go, I understand. If you got to go, I understand. But let's have an altar call and let's come and just say, God, you know, just pour your hearts out to the Lord, and let's pray and seek the face of the Lord. Let's be unified in spirit. Unified in spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, worship team. And if you want to pray at your seat or stand or come to the altar, just ever how you feel led. But let's pray. We got to pray, guys. We got to pray. We got to pray.